Got another episode, guys, and again, another great guest. Could you introduce yourself for people, please?
Sure. My name is Ken Krantz, and I'm a stand-up comedian in America.
Yeah. Guest in the States today. We're going global. So,
yes.
I think I first found out about you from a podcast that I just saw shared somewhere. Could you tell people about that quickly? And we'll go on to the comedian stuff after.
Sure. Yeah. The podcast is called I Love Rock and Roll. And it's a rock music. It's a mostly rock music podcast where myself and another comedian, my co-host Chip Chantry, we find a band or an artist that we love or that we've just discovered to talk about each week. Sometimes we have comics on to talk about bands they love, and sometimes we interview musicians themselves.
Yeah, and I can't remember which episode I found. I've listened to a few now. But you do comedy as well, which is kind of your main thing. That's what it says on your Instagram profile. I was listening to one a minute before we joined. That's what I didn't accept you straight away. I just finished in the last few seconds. It was funny. I think it was post-pandemic. Don't know how long ago it was, but it seemed pretty recent. When you're planning a comedy show, how much do you plan ahead, basically?
How much do I plan ahead? I don't plan very much ahead. You're talking about like in terms of like writing out a set or
what goes where, what you say.
Yeah, I as the years go by, as I've done it longer and longer, I don't do nearly as much planning.
Fair enough. Does that work better?
Yeah, I like it to feel, you know, every audience is different and the energy in every audience is different. And if you go in there with an exact plan, it might not work out great. But if you go in there and you figure, hey, let me see what works. Let me see what this crowd's about. And then I can kind of adjust to them. You may end up having more fun with it.
Yeah, that makes sense, to be fair. is there any no-go jokes? Like, you specifically won't do jokes about a certain topic? Like, I don't know. I'm thinking of some random topics. Politics, religion, I don't know, stuff like that. Is there anything that you just can't touch?
No, I'm a pretty big freedom of speech guy. There's jokes. I don't think of things in terms of like, hey, that's in poor taste or that's taboo. It's just, it's funny or it's not funny. And if you can make something taboo funny, that's even more of a challenge.
To be fair, as long as it's funny, it works. That's where you get your laughs, I guess, isn't it? So is there anywhere that, like, one gig in your career that stands out to you that was the best, and why?
That was the best. You know, it's funny because it was a gig that I didn't even perform on. It was something that I wrote for.
All right.
I don't know if you know how well you know stand-up comedy. But there's a famous comedian in America named Rich Voss.
Probably, I think I've heard, but I don't know much about him.
And a few years ago, they had a 60th birthday party for him where they roasted him.
Oh, okay.
And it was a lot of your American listeners might know it was Robert Kelly and Colin Quinn and Jim Florentine and Bonnie McFarlane and Judy Gold. It was a really big lineup of big names, and I wrote for it. And they had it at the Comedy Cellar in New York City, which is one of the biggest clubs in the world. And it was the electricity in the room before the show felt like it felt to me almost like a rock concert, like it almost like, before you see a concert and you feel that electricity and energy in the air with anticipation. People were really excited for this. And it's the only gig I ever had that felt like a concert going in. And just seeing stuff that I wrote work in that room coming out of those comics' mouths for an audience at one of the best clubs in the world is still one of the coolest things I ever did.
That's like, is there any clips on YouTube that I can find?
You could watch the entire roast on YouTube.
I'll Google it after.
Yeah, it's called the Roast of Rich Voss, V-O-S. And the entire roast is online. You'll see my name in the credits. At the, I'm sorry, I had my booster shot yesterday. I'm a little foggy brain today. Words aren't coming out as quick as normal.
It's all right. That's fine. Yeah, I found it. Could be worse. Could have had COVID. I mean,
yeah.
Let's put it like that. So I'm just not funny. I couldn't be a stand-up comic. When did you find out that's what you were going to do?
Well, I guess I've always been funny. I came from a big blended family. There was 5 kids in my house growing up. I was the youngest of all of them. And being funny was sort of a way of getting attention when there wasn't a lot to be had. But I didn't start stand-up until my 30s. I kind of stumbled on it. We used to live 5 minutes away from a club in New Jersey. And I would go in and watch the comics, and I would say to my brother and my wife, like, hey, I think this is something I can do. And then my brother just dared me, you know, he was like, well, go to an open mic and let's see what you got. So I just kind of started that way.
It's obviously gone up from there. So I find it funny. I can't remember what the show called now, which is annoying me because I had it written down, but it was a good show. I'll put a link to one of them in the show notes or whatever they call it on the podcast apps. And when you stumbled into something accidentally, what was it like first time you got up on stage?
It was legitimately one of the scariest things I've ever done in my life. And I don't remember much of it. Open mic comedy is anybody can walk in off the street, pay $5 and get up on stage for 5 minutes. And so if there was, and what I would recommend if you're listening and you're on the fence about doing stand-up comedy, go watch an open mic. Because I did that the week before I tried, I went and watched one. And if I saw 30 comedians, I'm not exaggerating, maybe 2 of them were funny. And the other 28 were awful. And it's weird, it actually gave me confidence because I thought I can come back next week. There's no way I'm gonna do worse than what I just saw.
Yeah,
I can only do as bad or better. And I wasn't scared of doing as bad. So I came back the following week. I got drunk, you know, I had to have a few shots just to even get the courage to go up. I probably went up 28th out of 30, you know, and maybe there was 9 people left in the crowd at that point. And I got 1 or 2 laughs. And then I said, all right, I tried it. I can tell people I did it. And I thought that was the end of it. But my brother convinced me. He was like, no, try it again. Go back next week. And I went back the next week and I went up early this time. I went up like 5th or 6th and there was still a pretty big crowd. And I got that first big laugh. And that first big laugh was like, it was like better than any drug. You know, it was such an adrenaline rush. And it's the second I stepped off, I remember turning to someone and saying, I want to do that again. I'll be back next week.
I can't imagine, standing up on stage and it's just, with me, it'd just be dead awkward silence. Like, I'd say a joke, but I'd stumble at my words a bit and it'd just be awkward. And I'd be like, not happening again.
You know what? It's not the worst thing. The best advice I ever got in my career was to try and get as comfortable in silence as you possibly can. Because sometimes when they're silent, it means they're actually listening. So sometimes when they're silent, I mean, listen, sometimes when it's silent, you know, you're bombing, but other times it means you've got their attention and they're waiting. When they're not paying attention, they're not going to be quiet. They're going to be chatty.
Yeah.
So I would rather a silent crowd than a chatty crowd, because silent is at least listening.
Good start, to be fair. It's better than...
Hey, man, how old are you?
15.
You're 15.
15.
That's why, yeah. I know that you said that the show's the world according to the autistic kid.
Yeah.
And I didn't think, like, I don't know why I thought that you weren't a kid.
fair enough. Yeah, it's, fair enough. It's, I don't know what I'm going to change the name like in a few years, because I don't know what I'll change it to.
If people are listening and you got recognition with it, you don't have to.
Yeah, good point.
Fair. I mean, look, Kid Rock is like 50.
Yeah, fair enough. Have you seen this new music video, and it tries to be political, but it sounds like a midlife crisis when you listen to it.
I saw All I Needed to Know when I saw Weird Al Yankovic tweet something about, hey, that's actually a Kid Rock video. That's not me. that was all I needed to know about the new Kid Rock song.
Oh, it's shocking. Like, taking all political views aside, it's just, even the music's bad. I can't. Yeah, if people haven't listened to it, just do it, just for the laughs. If you want to waste, I'm going to get the number up. If you want to waste 4 minutes and 12 seconds of your life, then do that. It's it's fun. Like, unintentionally. Which actually makes me think, have you ever been unintentionally funny? Like, you've said something that wasn't supposed to get laughs, but it just does.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of an example off the top of my head, but it happens in stand-up all the time. When you're doing the setup and you're getting laughs along the way, and you realize, like, oh, I didn't even write that as a joke, you know? Yeah. And then, but when you hear it happen more than once, it's, you've stumbled on something without even realizing that you have.
Yeah, fair enough. It's better than no laughs, I guess. I mean,
yeah,
still keeping people going and entertained. So about the podcast, when did you start it?
The podcast is still fairly new. We started it in March of this year, 2021. Myself and my co-host Chip wanted to do, I'm sure you wouldn't have heard of it, being in London and being 15, but in the 80s in America, there was this television show called Different Strokes, about two little black kids adopted by a multimillionaire white dad and his daughter. Okay. And it was this cheesy show, but my co-host and I loved it, and we love it so much. And it's been off the air for, you know, almost 40 years. But we still talk about it all the time. So we initially got together thinking that we were going to do a podcast about Different Strokes. And then, but we also were big music fans. And then as we were thinking about it and getting closer, I said, well, I've always had this other idea in the back of my head to do a music podcast. And I think that may have more of an audience than than a sitcom that went off the air in 1985. And so we thought we would give it a shot. And it's cool. I think we've only recorded about 45 episodes, but we've been getting some big names, and it's growing, and people seem to be responding to it. It's the most fun I've ever had doing anything in my career. Like,
yeah, you look at your Instagram and there's all the episodes, and that's not showing up on my screen, but it don't need to. It's an audio podcast, but you know, I'm getting into it. And you've had a few. It all looks like proper entertainment, and it is. I tell people to listen to it. You're welcome. I found you from David Bryan. Is that his name? David Bryan, keyboarder.
Yeah. David Bryan, the keyboard player from Bon Jovi.
And I'd had on my show Rich Scanella, who's drummed with them a few times, and I thought, I've just sent this guy an email. I sent actually one to Joe over social media as one of them. So I'll listen to this and see if it's any good. And it was. Can you tell people how you managed to get that sorted? Not like the actual phone number details. But his daughter's a comic as well.
His daughter's a comedian and an actress. I'm pretty friendly with his daughter just through stand-up. And there's a big I think there's a lot of mutual respect between musicians and comedians. This is a theme that we explore a lot. Most comedians I know are frustrated musicians, and I think most musicians are frustrated comedians. I know that if I had any musical ability, I would be doing that. I would be in a band trying to play rock in somebody's garage.
Why not?
I think a lot of musicians wish that you know, they did more comedy. But David Bryan of Bon Jovi is a huge stand-up comedy fan. And he comes out, he supports his daughter a lot. So when we're on shows together, I keep bumping into him. And every time we're off in the corner talking, he's trying to talk to me about stand-up, and I'm trying to talk to him about music. So I just asked him if he would come on the show. We're both, we're both New Jersey boys. You know, Bon Jovi's famously out of New Jersey. We live just a couple towns over from each other. So he was very gracious and accepted.
Bruce Springsteen next, and if you stay in the New Jersey area, right?
Yeah, Springsteen's a little. You know, I almost got to perform stand up for Bruce Springsteen, which would have been one of the coolest things I'd ever done.
But imagine that you're telling jokes and you see Bruce Springsteen.
I was at a bar show in New Jersey to perform stand-up, and I was sitting at the bar, and my back was to another guy's back. You know, we were sitting opposite directions, just drinking, talking to our friends. And I kept hearing the voice and thinking like, oh, that voice sounds so familiar, but I wasn't concentrating. And then at one point we kind of both turned around at the same time. I'm like, holy, oh my God, can I curse on here?
You can, I'll bleep it out, so.
Oh, I was like, oh my God, it's Bruce Springsteen. And he started talking to the comedians. And we all kind of knew to do that move where you don't fanboy out over him. Nobody was like, oh my God, Bruce, I'm your biggest fan. He actually started talking to us about comedy. And he was like, oh, are you guys the comedians? I saw a flyer for the show. Are you guys going up? We're like, yeah, we're the comics. He started talking about what a big fan of stand-up he is. And that, you know, he's a big First Amendment guy. He loves Lenny Bruce and he named some other comics. And he was like, oh, what time's the show? We were like, in 15 minutes. So maybe I'll stick around and watch. And I knew that I was up first. So I was like, even if I bomb and he walks out, like, I still get to perform for him, you know? But then, and everybody was playing it cool. Nobody was talking to him about his music. And then one of the comics pulled his phone out, was like, "Hey, Bruce, I'm so sorry to ask, but can I get a photo with you?" And then a bunch of other comics took their phones out, were like, "Me too." And then you saw in his body language, you saw him kind of deflate a little.
He
didn't, you know, he didn't want to do that at that moment. And he apologized, like, "Oh, I'm not really feeling pictures today, guys. I'm sorry. Get me next time." And then he was gone. You know, it was like he left the bar in 20 seconds.
All right. Fair enough, I guess, if you're just trying to blend in. But imagine how cool that would have been.
Well, that, yeah, I remember turning and kind of yelling at the dude who took his camera out. I was like, dude, if you have a chance to interact with one of your heroes or a celebrity that you look up to, like, interact with them, get the story, like, let them learn a little bit about you. Have the minute your phone comes out and they're like, "Oh, this is just going online and they're just doing it for likes," I'd rather have the story. I'd rather have the story that I got to perform for Springsteen than a picture with, you know, the picture of two of us posing when he doesn't have a clue who I am.
To be fair. So you're in New Jersey and you've met David Bryan and Bruce Springsteen. I think I need to go to New Jersey for a little bit, because, like, just meeting them in a random situation is amazing. Do you remember how the show went? Was it a good show?
Yeah. Oh, the show that Springsteen,
was supposed to be there for.
Yes. Yeah. I ended up. Yes. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. It was a comedy contest, and I'm pretty sure I won it.
Oh, and they weren't even there.
Yeah.
Oh well, I still win. Is there anywhere you'd really like to perform, like, in the world, as a matter?
There is. It would be tough. It'd be tough for me to get into, but there is a theater in America called the Apollo Theater.
Okay.
Which is in Harlem, which is a historic. It's this historic Black theater that everybody has played, you know, going back to Billie Holiday and Ella Fitzgerald and Chuck Berry and Springsteen played there. It's this historic. I've only been in it once. I went to one concert there, but when you look around and you can see the history, you know, you feel the history in the walls.
Yeah.
I love anything old. I love old theaters. I love stuff with history to them.
Fair enough, I guess. And same on dream topics. I'll just do a quick thing. What's your dream guest for the show?
Well, I don't know that I have a particular guest in my, like, listen, a dream would be anybody in the Rolling Stones, you know.
Yeah.
Keith, I feel like Keith or Ronnie are the good interviews. I don't know what you'd get from Mick.
Yeah.
I really want to get, I'm working on one of David Bowie's main collaborators.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure he's British. Guitar player named Reeves Gabrels, who was Bowie was in a band for a little while called Tin Machine in the late 80s and early 90s. They kind of were making grunge music before grunge really had a name.
Yeah.
And he was in the band with Bowie. And then when the band broke up, he stayed on as his songwriter and main collaborator and guitar player in his band for about a decade. David Bowie for me is where it all started. So Iggy Pop would probably be my number one of who's alive, you know, assuming we can't get Bowie back and let me talk to him. I would say Iggy Pop or Keith Richards would be my two.
fair enough. What show that would be? I remember seeing Iggy Pop on, I don't know, it was a daytime TV show or an interview show. It was an interesting interview. I can't remember too much about it, but I remember being amused by him. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
it could have been him or the TV show host. I thought it was funny, but I enjoyed the episode. So I speak great English, as you can tell there. Get my words out easily. It's Friday. So the podcast has gone well. What's your goal for it?
I want to keep growing it. You know, I would love for it to find a proper home, you know, like some sort of network or Sirius XM or something like that. But I'm not super focused on where it's going to go, just because I'm having so much fun doing it and I'm watching the numbers grow. You know, we've had some incredible guests and when you get that, and they seem to have a lot of fun on it, you know? So when you get them, when you get them retweeting and it exposes the show to their audience, you see it every time we have someone big, you see it start to grow a bit.
Yeah.
And we've been getting some, like, we just had Rick Allen of Def Leppard on.
Oh yeah.
With Zach Hansen. I don't know if you remember the band Hansen, the three brothers.
I don't remember, but I didn't know who they are.
Yeah. Yeah, that was Zach Hansen was younger than you when he became famous.
Oh, what's the song called? Because I think I saw
Mbop.
Yeah.
That was their famous hit in the 90s. But we had them on together, which was such a like wild and bizarre pairing. But we've had Richard Marx and his wife Daisy Fuentes on, Stephen Perkins of Jane's Addiction. We've had a couple other guys that toured with Bon Jovi. We had Matt O'Ree and Bobby Bandiera, and I'm such a huge music fan that I can talk about music. I can talk about it all day. So when I get these guys in, I think that comes across. I think it comes across that I'm doing it because I love what they do, and they seem to have fun doing it too.
It's like I said, it's a good show and people should go listen. Is there one episode that is the best, like your favorite? If you could only like have one episode published,
it's a weird like some of them are very comedy heavy. You know, some of the episodes are super funny, but then others are serious interviews, you know, with comedy sprinkled in, and then others are just really wild stories that we find. And there's a story we found. It's my favorite. I don't know if it's my favorite episode. It's my favorite story. About a glam rocker from the 70s by the name of Joe Bryath. And he was, you haven't heard, nobody's heard of him until.
But you said glam rock from the 70s, so you can get an idea.
Yeah, no, he was hyped up as the American David Bowie. And he was the first openly gay rock musician.
All right.
And his story was wild. I stumbled upon a documentary on him, and the reason that it caught my interest was because I'd never heard of him.
Yeah.
It was like, how is there somebody hyped as the American David Bowie and I've never even heard of him?
Yeah.
And I watched the documentary. The documentary is called Joe Bryath AD, like after death. The documentary was so wild. It was one of the first episodes we did, and we uploaded it and tweeted it out, and then the director of the documentary found us and said he loved the episode. He came on and did an interview about, you know, the behind the scenes, and we've had him on a couple times since then for other topics. But to me, that was like my favorite thing is learning about a band or an artist that I didn't know much about going in, and then coming out on the other end a big fan of them.
It's, yeah, to be fair, I love something similar when I'm like searching podcast guests. I'll be on Instagram, that's where I find most of them, and I'm like, oh, that I've never heard of, and that's fun. I think that was Jason Perry, producer who I interviewed. Is one of Grammy and all's a producer. He's in a rock band called, I'm practically pitching him to you. You might get him on your show. He was in a rock band called in the UK, quite heavy, but he produces.
What was the name of the band?
Just called A, the letter A.
Oh, okay.
Which is not the best name if I think about it, but oh well. He came on the show. I'd never heard of him before. Obviously, I did my research, listened to some of his music. And the stories they've got to tell is great. Like, he got kicked out of his seat after he collected the Grammy and didn't get to eat because someone else wanted to sit there and it was on TV. Like, and it's, so he had a chippy or something like that. Like,
oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it's, well, I've never heard of him and they've won a Grammy. It was cool. But then I haven't heard of everyone with a Grammy. But yeah, I recommend that for people to listen to. I don't know how long it is. An hour, maybe 40 minutes, something like that. And people should listen to that. That was cool. Who else have we had? Music? I've had a few musicians. I don't know. I've had, yeah, Rich Scanella. I've had a singer. Alexander. Yeah, musicians are cool, basically, is what I'm leaning towards. Yeah. Especially the unknown ones that you don't find out. And then you follow them afterwards. Like, put a follow on.
Well, yeah, it's... And you know what? Even... I've had... I've had local musicians come in, you know,
yeah.
and even local musicians who never hit it big, they still have these amazing stories. Yeah. They've still performed with all sorts of names. And they, like I said, I can just, it's the kind of thing I can listen to. I could watch any music documentary. It could be a band that I hate.
Yeah.
But I'll watch their documentary and I could admit when it's, even if I don't like the music, I can be like, well, that's a great story. You know, it holds my interest.
I was watching a documentary about Michael Jackson, not about his music, more about his pedo stuff.
Yeah.
Allegedly. Oh,
HBO one? I was rough to watch, right?
I don't know which one I've got. I watched about three in a row, proper binge watch. I was isolating. some on YouTube, and I don't like his music or anything, but I wasn't fussed, so I went in there pretty open-minded. Say I don't like his music's cruel, some of it's all right, but I won't choose it. And yeah, I was hooked throughout. It were proper interesting.
What do you do? Like, I'm curious, because we're such different generations. What do you do when you find, let's say you listened to Michael Jackson's music and loved it?
Okay.
What do you do when you find out that, oh, this guy was actually like a garbage human being,
yeah,
and a monster? How do you stop listening to the music? How do you separate the art from the artist? Are you into canceling people for?
Now he's dead, I can do what I want. Mentally, I try to, but if it's good music, it's really hard. Right? To separate from it. Like, some people are rubbish people, but they've got good music. So I don't, I'll separate the music from the person, or I'll pretend that I'm being nice and not listening to it at all. But I don't, like, I won't go out on Twitter and say, oh, this is terrible, and then go listen to the music afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a hypocrite. If I'm not going to listen to it, I won't listen to it. And if I do listen to it, I'll tell people that I still listen to it. If that makes sense.
Yeah, but, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
No, I'm curious. I'm always curious. Like, for me, it's easy to separate the art from the artist when I like the artist. But if it's music I don't like to begin with, then, you know, then it's easy to, you know, it's easy for me to be like, well, I would never listen to R. Kelly, but it's just because that's not my kind of music and I wouldn't have listened to him anyway.
Yeah. To be fair, Michael Jackson, that's how I'll put it on. It's, yeah, don't like it, and he's a pedo. I can say pedo, can't I? I don't know what counts as a swear.
It's your show. I don't know why you're asking.
I'll say what I want. Pedo's not a swear, so I don't think.
No.
Yeah, he's a pedophile. There we go. I don't know why I have to think about that. It's a Friday, guys, if when I'm recording this. This will be out, I don't know when. But it's a Friday. That's my excuse. Yeah, I just separate it. But Michael Jackson ain't good. Is there
like,
one...
Like with me with Michael Jackson, yeah. I'm a big fan of his music. Like when he was at the Jackson 5, when they were doing Motown. I love that music. I'm a huge Motown fan. So because to me, that music is just timeless. You listen to Smokey Robinson in 2021 sounds just as amazing as it did in 1963. You know, it's just, it will always sound that good. So I like Michael Jackson right up until the 70s. He did an album called Off the Wall, which was like a disco album filled with bangers, you know? And I still love that album, but in my mind, I don't think he got really weird with kids until Thriller. So that's, for me, that's my cutoff. But I never liked Thriller that much to begin with. So I'm like, I think he was okay up until the early 80s. So anything before like 84, I can listen to without feeling bad about it.
Yeah, fair enough, I guess. And then there's, how do you, right, we're talking about this, and this will be deemed controversial. I'm not too fussed, but how do you care when you're on like your comedy if it is classed as controversial or not? Like, obviously, within reason, you're not going to start being racist or whatever. But, like, you won't bother about the touchy subjects like this.
Yes. I Michael Jackson, when he died, that's what inspired me to start comedy, because I just couldn't stop joking about him. My brother was like, hey, write these out. Michael Jackson was my first joke that I ever wrote. My first bit was about Michael Jackson. I think controversy can be good for comedy. Yeah. For me, every comedian's different. I grew up in the 80s watching comedians like Eddie Murphy and Richard Pryor and Sam Kinison. And they joked about things that made you uncomfortable. They joked about things that you knew you shouldn't be laughing at, but they made them so undeniably funny that you couldn't help yourself from laughing at them. So to me, there's easy laughs and there's really hard laughs. And the really hard laughs are getting people to laugh at things they don't agree with.
Yeah.
And especially now, like it, when I was growing up, it seemed like people sort of knew that was the contract. You paid money to go to a comedy club. You were going to hear things that you didn't agree with, but you were in the safety of a comedy club. You understood that they were jokes and you were able to laugh at it. Now, you know, it's a little more, I think people are a little more sensitive and they get upset when they hear things they don't agree with. So I challenge myself to, I enjoy pushing the envelope. I enjoy making the room uncomfortable for short bursts, because when you make them uncomfortable and then you hit your punchline and they see where it was all headed. And you get that laugh that breaks, when you have tension and then you get a huge laugh that breaks the tension. To me, that's the best laugh, because it's the hardest earned laugh. It gets me in the trouble sometimes. I've gotten in the trouble on Twitter. I've had more than my fair share of angry audience members waiting for me at the, you know, afterwards. but you know, you paid to come hear jokes. So
yeah,
I don't know why you thought you weren't going to hear jokes, you know.
We've got in Britain a few, you kind of have to be controversial to be a comedian, I guess. Like they don't care. Like, I don't know, Jimmy Carr, I guess, will routinely break the boundaries. Like Russell Howard, who's on TV, will make jokes about the royal family and Prince Andrew, who was friends with Jeffrey Epstein and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is, it's hard to go a comedy show without hearing a joke. Oh, well, it's hard to go 5 minutes without hearing some sort of joke that would be deemed controversial. Do you listen to British comedy? Yeah, comedy.
I am. Ricky Gervais is one of my favorite comedians.
Yeah,
I've seen him a couple times. I think he gets a very bad reputation. And I don't understand why. I think he is so brilliantly funny.
Yeah,
I think that his specials are brilliantly funny, and I think that you can watch him do these jokes, and to me, I understand, he doesn't even agree with half the things he's saying.
Yeah.
He just wants to get a rise out of people. It's funny what he's saying, you know? Yeah. I think that's a debate that goes on with comics where I'll do the same. I have jokes that, listen, I wasn't a particularly big fan of Donald Trump. Never had been. You know, I grew up in the New York area, and yeah. I think most people that grew up in New York with Donald Trump in their lives, long before he entered politics, knew what kind of con man he was. And
yeah.
we'd heard all the stories about all the contractors that he stiffed and all the people that he screwed over. So I was never a fan of him, you know, before he entered politics. But I would push myself to write some pro-Trump jokes. I would do, if I found a funny angle, even if I didn't agree with it, if I could find a funny angle and make it funny, I have no problem telling that joke. I don't think every joke has to reflect your personal beliefs because it's a joke.
Yeah, it makes sense. To be fair, because again, like Russell Howard is on TV, he's pretty left-leaning, obviously, by, I don't know, by American standards, but by UK standards anyway. But he'll still take a mick out of the left party, the Labour Party, because that's what he's there to do. that's what he's getting paid for, is to make jokes and make fun and make people laugh. The UK sports chants are brilliant. I don't know if you've heard them.
And what's his name?
No, just like sports chants from the UK, like football / soccer chants. Have you seen the YouTube video? Like, there's no off limits. It's brilliant. I don't know. I'll send you a clip to one or something. Although, if you've got people in the house who don't like swears, put headphones on. Awesome.
I'm fine with swears.
Yeah. There's a person, like, for example, this is a sports game. There's no limits. Like, in the 70s and 80s, there was a TV person, Jimmy Savile, who was a paedophile, like, horrible person.
Oh, yeah. He was, like, a children's, like, it was, like, a TV show host?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he died without anybody kning, right? Like, he got away with it.
Covered it up. Oh. Yeah. But anyway, even he gets taking the mick out of sports games when it's not got anything to do with any of it at all. It's amazing. Like, but yeah, what story he is. There's jokes about him all the time. Like, I don't know how he didn't get caught. Because, well, I do know money, but
it's crazy, right? Like,
what story?
Don't you get angry when they get away with it?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I just like the Michael Jackson one, I guess. Like how?
But people, you know, people knew. Listen, I mean, he got away with it. I mean, I don't know if he did. He clearly was battling demons, you know, that he was hooked up to that. I got the vaccine fog.
That's all right.
Whatever he was hooked up to make him sleep every night.
Yeah.
You know, give me my milk. He called it his milk. Give me my milk. And he had to have a technician come in and put like the laughing gas on him to get to sleep. That's not how normal people sleep. Like that's somebody who's clearly battling something. So maybe he didn't get away with it as much as people think, but the guy that you're talking about, I read
it was like, proper got away with it.
He passed away and then everything came out.
Yeah. there was, the BBC knew about it, which was worse. They just covered it up. Oh, there was a rock star, I can't remember which one it was, who wanted to do a show on the BBC about it. A show where he talks about different comedians. Oh, what was his name? Was it? Johnny Rotten is a real person, right?
Yeah. From
I think it was him. Yes, it was him. He wanted to do a show about it. He talked about it on Piers Morgan's interview show. What a two people that is. But he got told he couldn't do it, and he got barred from BBC Radio, his music, because he wanted to expose them, kind of. Like, people were working together to let Jimmy Savile get away with it, and everyone
those,
knew.
That, to me, those people are almost bigger monsters. Because like we had I don't know if you know the name Jerry Sandusky. He was the Penn State college football. Joe Paterno was this legendary football coach at Penn State University. Okay. And he had an assistant coach that was a problem for young boys. We'll say that. Okay. And they covered him up all the way up to the top. And then when it got found out, everybody got taken down. You know, he went to jail. I don't think he'll ever see daylight again.
Hopefully not.
Coach Paterno ended up getting fired and, you know, in disgrace. And he could have. It's to me, it's like, The one doing it is, all right, listen, they're clearly very sick and should be locked up, and I don't have sympathy for them.
Yeah.
But they clearly have an illness that cannot be
Controlled, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Right? It's like an alcoholic or a drug addict. Yeah. It's just, even if you want to not drink, you're going to drink.
Yeah.
So the people around them that aren't sick and cover up for them,
that's
to
just
me, like, oh, you're almost, you might even be worse because you're thinking rationally and
you're still doing it.
And what you came up with was let's cover up and let him continue.
Yeah.
Cause we don't want to kill the golden goose.
I totally get it. They are worse, I guess. They're thinking straight and allowing it all to happen. It's, I don't know. How harshly would you punish them? Like, what would you do to combat it?
I would start with jail time.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's the simplest way to go for them. Out of all the musicians from the last however many years, I don't know, who do you say is your favorite ever? We'll say
my all-time favorites are David Bowie. David Bowie is what changed my life when I was 13. It was 30 years. My brother gave me a joint to smoke, and he gave me a copy of David Live, and I put it on my headphones and went to walk the dog. And from those first opening, like, weird piano notes of the song 1984, I was just immediately transfixed into, like, another universe. But before that, I just listened to whatever was on MTV or on the radio at the time, whatever my mom had on in her car, you know? Yeah. And this was like the first moment I heard that, I was like, oh, this is different from anybody else I've ever heard, and I need to know more. So for me, David Bowie, the Stones are just, you know, the timeless to me. I'm such a huge Keith Richards fan. Iggy Pop, in my opinion, is the greatest front man who ever lived. And after that, I don't know. Those are my top three. I love The Clash. Right. I loved all the British Invasion guys that were coming out of the UK, the Kinks, you know. The Who, yeah. The Beatles, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of classic, timeless, I guess. What were yes. best?
More recent, like, you know, if you asked me, like, the last 20 years, okay. Arctic Monkeys are right up there. I think what Alex Turner does is he every album sounds different than the one before it. He's not resting on his laurels. You know, he followed up the album a few years ago, AM, which was every song sounded like a single meant to be played in arenas. And then he follows it up with a science fiction concept album about a hotel on the moon. And
all right.
Yeah, and it was such, I mean, he followed up the most commercially successful album of their career with the strangest, most inaccessible album of their career. And I love it because that reminds me of David Bowie. Like, you never look back, you only look forward.
Yeah.
And you do what makes you happy, and you don't care. I don't believe give the people what they want. I believe, like, do what you want and the people that like it will follow you.
Yeah. That's how I run the podcast, to be fair. It's how it should be. Keep yourself happy. Seems we're in the festive period now. It's December. Favorite Christmas song?
My favorite Christmas song is, I love, I got a couple. Keith Richards does a version of Run, Run, Rudolph that I love. He did it in the 70s. It's an old Chuck Berry Christmas song. And I love The Kinks, Father Christmas. Do you know that one?
I think so, yeah. We get loads of old Christmas songs on that. They just all blend together for me.
Father Christmas is about a gang of kids. I guess you guys call Santa Claus Father Christmas, right?
Depends how old, like most people now will just call him Santa.
The song's from like the 70s, but it's about a gang of tough neighborhood kids who mug Santa Claus and steal his toys.
Why not?
And then the Ramones have a classic one called Merry Christmas, I Don't Want to Fight Tonight. That's probably my favorite Christmas song.
Yeah. Festive period, why not? I think Christmas songs, I usually think new is better, but I like all the old Christmas songs because it just suits it better in my head.
I don't like the traditional ones. I like when I like when rock bands do their takes on them.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to listen to Bing Crosby or Frank Sinatra do it.
Fair enough. Yeah. Although I bet if, I don't know, are they both alive? Frank Sinatra's not.
They're both dead.
Yeah, yeah. The type of music I should have been able to guess. But yeah, they've been just in interviews, people like that who've been in the industry that long. Sorry, you've got me off topic. but yeah, they'd be cool interviews. Yeah, least favorite Christmas song?
My just least favorite Christmas song is that, Paul McCartney. Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time. Oh, that's straight rubbish.
Yeah, fair enough. Which ones? I'm trying to think of my least favorite, but it's just like All I Want for Christmas Is You. It's an okay song. It's just overplayed.
It's a pretty great song. It's hard. I feel like Mariah Carey's kind of a liar in that song. Like, does she? Like, don't you think if you were dating Mariah Carey and all you showed up with for Christmas was you? Don't you think she'd be pretty annoyed?
Yeah, yeah. What I find worse is when she says she doesn't want a lot and then she says she wants you. That's kind of insulting.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that.
That's insulting.
I never thought about that angle. She seems like if you showed up with less than $100,000 worth of gifts that...
Not very happy.
She'd be pretty angry with you for a while, I feel like.
Yeah, it's pop star, I guess.
Yeah.
Is the way. Yeah.
Yeah, she never married. Like, everybody she married was pretty rich. Tommy Mottola and, yeah. Nick Cannon. Mariah Carey never married like a plumber or a contractor.
I was going to add something on. What more can I add on to that? It's good. If there was more quick fire questions, by the way, I forgot to introduce it. We usually do some quick questions.
Okay.
A few in. I say quick. We end up having a discussion about it. One live gig you'd love to go to by any musician, dead or alive?
By any musician, dead or alive? I would have loved to have seen Led Zeppelin in their prime.
Yeah. That reason why?
Because music was the best. I mean, they just that seemed like...
Valid reason.
Yeah. I also never got to see Prince. I would have loved to have seen Prince.
Right. That would have been an interesting show. Was he, like, decent? He did a Super Bowl show, didn't he?
Yeah, I heard that his live shows were incredible, that he played... He played every single instrument on, you know, he would bounce around from the drums to the piano, to the guitar, to the bass and keyboards. And I would have liked to have seen him, you know, in the 80s, like Purple Rain era.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. And one musician, if we paid you $10 million, we'll say dollars, you would never go see. Like,
does it count if I've already seen them and I know that I would never go back?
Why not? Yeah.
So, Jethro Tull may have been the worst concert I ever saw in my life. And, Fish, my friends in high school dragged me to a few Fish shows and, they were not good. They didn't do it for me.
Yeah, I've got to answer for me. So my parents found really cheap tickets to a band that I hate the music of. I'm pretty sure everybody does. Like British pop, like 90s, early 2000s. They're called Steps, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know how big they are in America. Hopefully not.
Say their name again.
Steps.
Steps?
Yeah. Please say they're not big. Good, good. They don't deserve to be. It's proper. It couldn't be more pop. Like, and I'm fine with pop, but it's like the... It's like the 90s music videos, I guess, pop. It's just awful. I hated every second. They were really cheap tickets, so I'm not being ungrateful before anyone gets on at me. But it was, oh, no, never again. For me, live concerts should be bouncy music, not that sort of music. No, yeah, never again. And they're not even like how young they were then. They're like in their 40s now. That's again, that's not old, but for the type of music they perform, it's old. Never happening again. One venue you'd like to go see someone live? Like for me, I'd love to go to like Wembley or Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, the garden is amazing. I've literally seen hundreds of things at the garden. I would like to go to Wembley. I remember, I don't know if you still do that, what was it called? Nebworth, that festival every year, or that concert.
We have loads of festivals. I don't know if we have that. What was the name? And I'll Google it. I don't recognize
Nebworth. Does that sound familiar?
It comes up when I search it, but I've never...
I don't know if they still do it, but they used to put on these like weekend long concerts that were, was like every big name in music.
Yeah. Oh, I found a Wikipedia and it says when the last date occurred. The last date occurred. Oh yeah, they have had some big names. Sorry. They've had like, yeah. If I keep scrolling down, I think 2014, they seem to have not like done the last one then. But they had some big names. Then Metallica, Iron Maiden. Like, they're just the first two I see. Yeah, okay.
I remember when I was a kid, one I knew I knew somebody from the UK and he had this double CD of Nebworth and it was all live recordings. And it was like Robert Plant and Elton John and Phil Collins and The Who. And
Elton John's done now. Is his last tour. I say done now. His last tour is still going on for a few years. But I'd love to see him actually. That'd be an interesting show.
Yeah, I've seen him a few times.
Was it worth it?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen him since the 90s. I don't know what he sounds like now.
Yeah.
He's an interesting guy because he's gotten more hair as he's gotten older.
Elon Musk. But
yeah, like in the 70s, he was practically bald and then he's done all of those hair implants. And now it's like, as he's getting older, he's getting more hair. It's like a weird reverse process.
To get more hair, get rich. It's just it solves your problems. He owned a football club in the UK as well. He owned Watford, there near London. He's doing a show in their football ground soon. But yeah, that'd be an interesting show.
Doesn't Rod Stewart own a team too, or used to, or?
That does ring a bell. I know that he likes you, Rod. I'm gonna check it. Stewart owns football team. I think he supports Celtic in Scotland, which is a bit weird. They're watching a team. I don't know if they've owned it for a while, but man, there's too many things to look at. It'll take too much time, but I'll look after.
He's really great. If you've never seen him, he puts on an incredible show.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. What's his name? He's got a great voice. He's on a TV talent show. Is it Tom Jones's voice, or am I just thinking
Tom
that?
Jones? Yeah,
that's it. He's still got a great voice. I'm checking out oldies. I think he's got
to be in his 80s.
81, yeah.
Yeah.
He sings on the TV show every now and then. It could just be fixed because it's edited.
Right.
But it still sounds great. I don't like his music, but it's still quite good for his age. That'd be cool. Right. One more. One place in the world you could visit, just for the sake of it.
One place in the world.
It doesn't have to be in the world. I mean, if you want to go to the moon, why not?
I always wanted to check out Italy.
Yeah.
I've been to the UK, I've been to Spain.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Italy.
I've been to Italy, I've not been to Spain. I'd like to go to Spain. Yeah, but when I went to Italy, it was raining, so I was unlucky. Whereabouts in Italy? Like Rome on your beach. I don't know if Rome.
I'm a beach guy.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah, fair enough.
But I'd love to see the Colosseum. You know, I love, like I said, anywhere you go that's steeped in history and you can feel it. I love that. I get a kick out of that.
Yeah, but in the UK we've got a few old stuff and now it's just in the way. I mean, there's a few ruins of castles nearby. If I'm going to see history, I'm going to go somewhere warm. That's what I've decided. Like, you just rain, it's just raining, you're soaking, it's cold in the ruin of a castle that wasn't significant at all. Like, it's just not worth it. But fair enough, yeah. Colosseum would be cool to have a gig. I don't know if it'd be able to hold one, but
yeah.
Have they done a gig at the Colosseum?
I don't know. I would love to see I'd like to see the pyramids.
Oh yeah. My dad's seen them, I think. I've not. That'd be cool. Can you go into them? I don't know.
I don't know.
That would be cool though.
I would like it if they moved it. Like, I don't love Egypt. I don't love Egypt's politics I'm not a huge fan of the Egyptian government, but like if they move the pyramid somewhere cool,
I would go check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they airlifted them to Italy, I would definitely go.
Brilliant. here's a question I've got for you. We're talking halfway through about America. How much does other world's politics get broadcasted in America? Like, this is interesting, man.
You know, not much. I think it has to do with I think it has to do with our arrogance, that we really, we don't pay a lot of attention to. There's a great comedian here in America. He passed away a few years ago, but his name was Patrice O'Neill. And he had my all-time favorite comedy special called Elephant in the Room. If I can only own one Comedy Central, comedy special the rest of my life, that's the one. But he used to do this joke about how arrogant we were. He'd be like, you know, it was back when George Bush was president, and you can go to other countries and say like, oh, who's the leader of America? And almost everybody would know George Bush. Yeah. And then like, you can go to, and then someone in Canada would be like, hey, do you want to, you know, oh, do you know who our president? And you'd be like, no. And then, oh, well, it's, and he'd be like, no, hold on. I don't want to know. Like I didn't ask. Like it's not only that we don't know, it's that we don't want to know, and we're almost proud of not wanting to know.
I think the UK, we're turning slightly into that, but we still get significant news and we still quite get European news and America's.
I'll go to, like, we have our news is basically, our news channels are basically split. You know, the right has Fox News, the left has CNN. Yeah. To me, they're just mirror images. You know, they're just fear-mongering based on, you know, the right is fear-mongering based on immigrants coming to take everything from you. And the left is fear-mongering with white supremacists and COVID. And it's hard to find anybody that's in the middle that just gives you news anymore. So actually, when I want to watch just news, I'll turn to BBC a lot.
Funny, because BBC here get a lot of controversy, but to be fair, they are slightly in the middle. Did you see, Ben Shapiro, I don't like his politics, but he had an interview with Andrew Neil, who I also don't like. He's quite right-wing. He's a member of the Conservative Party. But Ben Shapiro accused him of being a lefty because he was asking tough questions and not just accepting, which I was like, is that really the state of American politics at the moment? You expect to be given an easy ride, and if you're not, you're an enemy?
Yeah. Like that. What Trump started, you know, with fake news. the minute anything was asked that he didn't like, it was fake news, and it was such a dumb strat. It like that never should have worked, but it worked. It took off. People now. They'll only watch what fits their narrative. And if it's not in their narrative, it's fake news. And it doesn't matter how much evidence you can present them with.
Yeah.
It's like, once your mind's made up, it's made up.
Like conspiracy theories, I guess, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's politics. Politics is interesting. It's how I leave it at. So not long left, but basically, to finish it up, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
In 5 years, hopefully, I will have sold a movie or two.
Okay.
Possibly writing for some TV shows.
All right.
I have some stuff in the works that I'm keeping my fingers crossed. And honestly, I hope I'm still doing I Love Rock and Roll.
Yeah.
Because it's so much fun to me. I love getting together, talking about music every week. I love interviewing musicians. I love hearing musicians talk about comedy. I love hearing comedians talk about musicians. Yeah. It's just, when I was a little boy, I wanted to be a rock star. As I got older and discovered that I had zero talent for music, I had to pivot. You know, I knew I wanted to do something creative, so I had to pivot to stand up. but I could still just talk about music for hours. So hopefully I'm still doing the show.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about 10 years? If 10 years is hard to think of, because 10 years is a long time.
Yeah. It's, so you know, it's funny. It's like COVID sort of made you stop planning long term, right?
Yeah. Yeah. When you see yourself in 10 minutes is about as far as I normally go.
Yeah.
do you have a 10-year plan for anything?
No, I didn't even have a 5-year plan until you asked.
No. I'm helping. Life advice.
10 years from now, I hope that I am I'm making a living writing, which is something else I always wanted to do.
Yeah.
And you know, doing stand up when I feel like it. And again, still doing I Love Rock and Roll. I love it that much.
Cool. So it's been I've loved the episode. Thanks for coming on. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I had a great time. Thank you for having. It's so cool that I think it's so cool that you're over in the UK and you found my podcast and reached out. Because, you know, I'm sure you know, when you record these things, it feels like you're doing it in a vacuum. Yeah. Don't really think anybody's going to hear it.
Yeah.
And then when people start reaching out and touching base and, oh, I loved this, or, you know, it's cool. It's so I got a big kick out of you reaching out to me. I'm glad you did. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on. And where can people find you?
You can find me on social media at Ken Krantz, K-R-A-N-T-Z, comic. So that's Twitter and Instagram. You can follow the show on Twitter at Rock and Roll Pod. Or you can just subscribe to I Love Rock and Roll. We put out some pretty amazing free content. We've got some big things coming up. And do me a favor, if you check us out and you enjoy it, leave us a review, because that's how these things grow, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming on. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.